This is 105 Breakfast. Cambridge 105.
It's 7 minutes past eight. Cambridge 105 Breakfast with Lottie and Neil through till half past nine. Nick has been on.
Morning, Nick.
Morning, Lottie and Neil. Have you heard the good news? JLS are spitting up.
I know.
I won't lose any sleep over it. One less manufactured pile of rubbish to worry about.
They were all right at dancing, weren't they?
Were they? Actually, I quite like JLS. No, I didn't. Right. I played them a couple of times.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
It's fine.
There we go. Anyway, and that was S Club 7, talking of manufactured piles of rubbish. that was for Danny
there you
this
go,
morning.
Danny.
He should be happy now. Keep him quiet for a while. There we are. Listen, we've been talking for the... Every time we get a guest in, it seems to involve exercise lately.
I know.
And it seems
to involve...
Do you
think everyone's trying to tell us something?
Yeah,
get off your bum,
I'm just resting my stomach here on the desk. It's fine like that. It takes the weight off my trousers.
What a beautiful image you paint.
But we're joined in the studio this morning by Peter Dudfield. Peter, very good morning to you.
Morning, morning.
Now, this is even more worrying. We've got to get this out of the way first.
Oh, about his mother.
Yeah, go on.
Peter's mother taught at the school that I went to, and he went to the rival school to me down the road, so it's instantly...
A lot of tension.
Yeah, there is. I can't even compete with him. I can't say, well, we'll have a bike off, because I don't own a bike and I can't really cycle.
Yeah.
I've got a helmet.
That's good.
I can
very
pretend.
She's a little bit competitive, Peter. I've got to warn you. So, yeah, if she challenges you to something... She means it. Peter,
it's all right. I'll be kind on you today.
Now, you're organising a London to Cambridge charity cycle ride. So this isn't the one which has traditionally happened every year in July. This is your own event.
Yeah. This is May the 11th, so just more than 2 weeks away.
Okay, and tell us all about it. What are you raising money for? How's it happening? How did you get the idea?
The idea, it will be a fun day, I suppose, and I'm raising money for the British Red Cross.
Okay.
And it will be different from the other bike ride that you mentioned. It's fancy dress, you know, it's going to be, there's a lot of prizes that you can win on the way. It's going to be a lot of fun.
But it's fancy dress, but it is still pretty much the same route as the traditional London to Cambridge bike ride. So we are still talking 60 miles.
Yeah.
In fancy dress.
Yeah.
On a route which, according to, what's this, bikeevents.com, on a scale of 1 to 4, where 1 is cycling around your back garden and 4 is climbing Ben Nevis, this is a 3. So it's quite a challenging route.
Yeah. I mean, it's fairly flat. You just got to take your time. You can do it, take
How
time.
Far have you ridden before?
I did maybe 200 kilometres.
Oh wow! And this is
okay then.
This is 60 miles, so about round
half.
Numbers. Yeah, half.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my lord. Okay. I mean, are you an avid cyclist?
I quite enjoy it. I try getting out of the weekend, and when it's good weather, it's nice to get out.
But if you're going to do something like London to Cambridge, can you just get away with a 3 or 4 mile bike ride and then suddenly do 60 miles, or do you have to work up to these sorts of things?
You could maybe try and do something like 20 miles as a warm up, something like that, and then you'd be fit to go.
Okay, do you have a special bike? And you know, is it carbon fibre and
no.
engineered within an inch of its life, or is it straight out of Halfords?
It was £50 off eBay.
Is that
hey!
Right? That's talking that girl's kind
yeah,
of living.
That's how I shop. We can check it out later. He's cycled in today.
Oh my lord, that's...
That's good.
It's not even lunchtime yet.
No,
and there's
not
a pub at the end of the ride either. Okay, so what sort of people are you looking at? Are there still spaces for people who want to take part in this?
Yeah, it's just turn up on the day. There's a Facebook event, which would be great if you could sign up. But to be honest, just turn up on the day.
Okay.
I have to thank Uppercross because they're giving us a free lunch.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing.
That's nice of them.
Yeah. I love their ham and cheese baguettes.
Well, maybe you should do the cycle ride then.
It's an excuse to go to King's Cross Station just to get one, to be honest.
Tottenham Hale Station.
Oh, well done to them. I was going to say, well done to them. There. Yeah, excellent. And so what's if someone's thinking of doing it, though, what sort of, realistically, I mean, it, you're young and fit and lithe. There's not an ounce of fat on you. You look tanned. But someone
That's
like
all
me,
from cycling, isn't it?
Well, it is.
You're an inspiration to cycle. You're tanned and thin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm starting to see where that's going now.
Yeah.
Thanks. But if someone was thinking about doing it, realistically, you do need to be moderately fit, don't you? You can't just do... I mean, it must be quite dangerous to just suddenly go and do 60 miles.
Like, moderately, but you can, you know, this weekend, get out, see what you feel like on the bike.
Okay.
I don't know, cycle to Ely or something like that. You can always get the train back. This route kind of runs up the train line. So.
Oh, does it?
So you can always...
cop out at any point. That's a brilliant idea. Can you roughly talk us through the route then?
So it's really great. It comes out from Tottenham Hale all the way up the canal, the Lee Valley system. So it's really pretty. And then comes up through the countryside and then kind of... I was planning to stop in Clavering for lunch.
Oh.
Perfect.
And then there's a national cycle route all the way into Cambridge from there. So,
and as you say, if you're following a canal, it is going to be reasonably flat, isn't it, by nature of the beast?
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. And what sort of bike, realistically, should you do it? I mean, that, I guess, is probably, if you're not worried about yourself, you're worried about the bike making it. And whilst you've got your bike for 50 quid off eBay, is there a limit to the sort of bike that's going to make it?
Yeah, there's always a limit. But as I say, if you get out and do a ride this weekend and it stays together, then... you know, give it a go. Why not? Try it.
Sounds superb. How much money are you looking to raise? Any idea?
I'm not really sure. I'm always, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It could be a couple of quid. It could be hundreds. It might get into the thousands.
Yeah.
How many people have you got taking part that you know of?
I mean, I'd like to get 100. Maybe there's a bit less. So more people, the more people, the better, you know.
Well, you get weather like this, you're going to be fine, aren't you?
Exactly.
We'll check out the weather forecast later.
I love that you're doing it on a bike that costs £50 off eBay.
I've
How much did your helmets cost?
Well, 55. Wow. That bike I've cycled from London, from here to Athens on, so it means a lot.
I'm sorry, to Athens?
Yeah.
So you do this, you've done a bit more than...
A little bit more.
Okay. This is all leading up to something a little bit bigger by the sound of it.
Something very big happening in September.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break for some travel news and we'll find out just exactly what this young man is after. It's Peter Dunfield's here in the studio. It's 14 minutes past eight.
My white bicycle, Nazareth. It's 20 past eight. Neil and I... Oh, I have to say, Cambridge 105 with Neil and Lottie. See, I said it once.
Oh, hurrah!
Neil and Lottie.
Thank you. It means so much to me that you've actually said it.
Right. And Peter from Peter Pedals is with us to talk about a bicycle. I can't really say bicycle ride because that's kind of like a leisurely afternoon sort of tottering around for half an hour or so. But you're doing a cycle from London to Cambridge on the 11th of May.
Yeah.
And and you've organised it and it's different to regular cycles.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day.
Said earlier that it's fancy dress. So I think we do have to know what it is or who it is you're dressing as.
It's going to be involving some kind of body paint. I think that's best to leave it at that.
Oh, dear God.
Right. This isn't an inappropriate question. Is there going to be clothing?
There will be some clothing.
Because Peter's just told us that he has actually done a couple naked calendars with bicycles. And it is just Peter and his bicycle.
Around different spots around Cambridge.
Right, or not just for fun, well, maybe.
Well, presumably but,
all raising money for the British Red Cross.
Yes, and I've just been outside to see your bike, which was only £50 on eBay, and it's very sweet. Do you want to tell everyone what you've done on your bike?
I've painted all the flags the countries I've visited with that bike, I've painted all the flags on.
It's awesome. It's a proper racing bike.
That is amazing. Okay, I haven't seen this bike. So therefore, I mean, if that was me, there'd be just the Cross of St George and you're done. So what have we got? What sort of flags are on there?
There's France, Italy, Croatia, Greece, Germany.
So this was all part of this bike ride you did to Athens.
London to Athens.
Yeah. But you're doing more than that then this year.
What's happening?
So in September I'm leaving Cambridge. I've got a year off my PhD and I'm going to cycle around the world.
I'm sorry, it's 21,000 miles around the world.
Yeah. So I'm planning 30,000 kilometres in...
good grief.
Yeah, in a year, basically.
Wow.
And how much prep have you done for that? Because presumably you can't just turn up at the border and go, hello, I'm Peter from England, I'd like to cycle through your country, please.
I was looking at some visas yesterday. I've got a few months still to sort stuff out.
You sound to me like...
Sort it out.
In true Cambridge style, you're going to worry about the next country as you were in the one before, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're going to sort of leapfrog around.
Yeah.
Are you planning to do this as a staged race type thing, or are you taking distinct breaks and actually just, right now, you know, do some stuff and then head on round?
I'm taking one day off a week, so it's not...
Is that all?
Yeah, so but it's not... It's 100 kilometres a day, so this is the same as the London to Cambridge. But you actually find you kind of get into a rhythm and you just cycle in the mornings and you have time to do stuff. But it will be, I mean, it'll still be a challenge.
So what happens if you get injured? How are you going to ensure that you're fighting fit and your knees are okay? Because my excuse is I have a wobbly kneecap, which actually is a real thing. It is. It is.
Well, I hope I won't get a wobbly kneecap.
It's the lack of muscle around the knee.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. So,
I don't really know. I have to see.
It's all a bit up in the air. Yeah.
This is true Cambridge spirit, isn't it? This is. Yeah, I'll be all right.
So much enthusiasm.
What do your family think of this? Because as a parent, I'd be worried sick. I'd be worried about you doing London to Cambridge, let alone riding off around the world. I mean, are they supportive of this?
Yeah.
Or have you not told
fairly.
Them?
No, I told them. My dad's going to join me for the first week. He's just told me, so that'll be good.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So the rest of it, you're actually going alone then?
Yeah, there's various friends might join me in for a week or so, but yeah, most of it on my own.
Will you, and obviously the aim will be, I would guess, to take the same bike with you all the way around, because that then becomes a very auctionable item at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Will you just dump it, if it breaks, you'll dump it and just get another one?
I hope it won't break, because I'm just about to buy it, and it's a lot of money. And sentimental.
Yeah. So.
I mean, are you having to plan much in the way of logistics for this, or are you really just going to backpack it around?
There's a few flights that I've booked, already, and I'll book a few more.
Wow. And this is all to raise money again, is it?
Yeah. So I'm trying to raise £10,000. If you go to the website, www.peterpedals.co.uk, then you can donate on there, or just check out what I'm doing.
Okay, are you going to be blogging?
Yeah, that's on the website, that'll be. Yeah. I'm trying to do monthly video blogs, that'll be the idea.
That'll be really cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Cool.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. And as I say, in true Cambridge spirit, it doesn't seem to be phasing you at all.
No, you're so chill.
It's just like, I'm going to cycle around the world. I mean, it takes weeks of planning to get me to cycle into the centre of Cambridge. I mean, I'm out checking the tyres and everything. I mean, making sure I've got the right pump and all this. I think it's amazing. It's amazing. Well done. Good luck. Good luck on the 11th of May.
Keep us updated.
I will.
Let us know what's going on, where you are, how's
it
going.
We'll try an interview halfway around.
Or perhaps what you could do, and if you could, just send Lottie a calendar with the dates of those interviews. She'll keep it just on her at all times, just in case, you ring or anything.
Well, Christine's Patisserie in town is selling them for me, so you can drop in there.
All right.
You'll be off then. Dear me. So let's just recap. First of all, then, we've got this charity cycle ride that Peter's organised. It's London to Cambridge. It's on the 11th of May, so you've still got time to think about getting entered. Prizes are going to be won. All abilities are welcome. It starts at Tottenham Hale Station at 9 o'clock in the morning. Lunch is provided by the upper crust at Tottenham Hale, and you're heading back up to Cambridge. What sort of time do you reckon you'll be in Cambridge then, most people?
Any time from 1 till 5, really.
Okay, so you'd be in Cambridge to enjoy it at its best and get a couple of beers in.
Yeah.
How do people get back? Or is the idea you're going to run them down? Or people may arrange their own transport? Or
they get the train down in the morning to London, and then if they want to get the train back.
You might just want to watch it if you're planning on going to London on the train that day. There might be more than the odd bike.
Are you
going to
cycle it as a pack? Or is it kind of people go off and just go at their own pace?
People go off. I'm going to cycle with the slowest person.
Oh.
Fair play to you. That's the sort of tactic
you
I'd use.
You say that. If we were doing it with you, you'd give up on us. You'd be there months. You'd never be able to go off around the world.
You're kidding.
You'd still be in London.
You and I know, if you and I were cycling, you would be. I'd be eating
tandem.
Your dirt. We could do tandem.
Yeah. We'd never get past. Where's the upper crust bit? How far do you have to cycle to get there?
So they're giving it out. I shouldn't say it. No, they're giving it out at the start. So.
Oh, well, there we go. That'll be fine.
You'd be straight round the corner and have eaten your back lunch. Maps are available. The route will be marked. You can check out Facebook. Suggested donation, £10. Or you can just turn up on the day. If you want to check it out, it's peterpedals.co.uk. Peterpedals.co.uk. Where you'll also find details of this 1 year, 30,000 kilometre bike ride, which you can sign up for as well, I guess. Yeah, let's all do it together.
Yeah.
And we've signed up for a few walks. My wife is sitting at home going, ye gods, where's he gone now? I signed up for a bike ride, dear. Peter, listen, good luck with it.
Oh,
keep us posted.
Have a great time.
Be safe, won't you? I'm going to play it.
Bicycle, yes.
I want to ride. Anyway, we were joined in the studio this morning by Natalie Clegg. Natalie, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, I just want to check, first of all... you're here to talk about a new book which you've brought out, a book called Hip Crochet.
Correct.
But it isn't you that's crocheted up all this stuff that's around these trees at the Portland Arms?
Absolutely not. I'd love to know who it is. I've got some suspicions, but no, not me.
You're not.
I'm not sure I should say it was her, even if it was.
No.
Well, you're not supposed to exactly. You know, get
yarn bombing.
Yarn bombing. That's what it's called. Although sometimes it's called yarn storming because the word bombing implies.
Oh, that's fair
negative.
Point. Yeah, fair point.
But it's yarn bombing. It's been carried on. I mean, there's a big debate whether it started in the US or whether it started in the UK. But basically, it's taking public sort of spaces and adding yarn items to it. I think it's fun.
Oh, I love it.
I think it looks amazing.
You've got to drive around Mitcham's Corner. You get it's about two or three laps, and you get to see them all. But there's about half a dozen trees have been done.
Yeah, there's a lot in Cambridge. There's definitely. Absolutely not, part of it. But there is, I think, quite a big crew of people in Cambridge because Cambridge has got a lot of yarn bombing around. There was, I think, some on Jesus Green a while back as well. So I'm not sure.
I love
it's
it.
Still there.
I don't have a problem.
And it doesn't.
With
it doesn't damage. It doesn't damage the. You know, it's not like painted graffiti, but it is graffiti. It's a form of graffiti. And there's some people who are really clever. I saw a statue somewhere where on the internet, not physically, but where they'd actually put a bikini onto the lady statue, which I thought was really
That's
clever.
Amazing.
Crochet bikini.
It just works. Yeah. I mean, you're here to talk about your book because crochet kind of seems to have lagged behind. There's been a great wave of this, of home crafts, maybe because of the recession or maybe just because, you know, what goes around comes around. Suddenly all these sewing, cooking, baking, it's all come back. But crochet was kind of like the poor relation, wasn't
it? I think crochet to a large extent has come late. I think the economy certainly is part of it, but there was also that cupcake revolution. I call it the cupcake revolution, where suddenly people started making cupcakes, whether you love them or hate them. There was this huge sort of surge in icing cupcakes, making red velvet cupcakes and so on. And I think that sort of homeliness, making something for the first time, maybe for years people haven't baked, and suddenly they started baking and realized they could bake, and it was fun. And the internet has helped because things go viral very quickly. And so that also, then we saw certain people, like I think Kate Moss, I might be wrong, but I think it was Kate Moss, knitting. And so suddenly, you know, knitting becomes acceptable.
Well, you say that. I was driving through Stevenage, and not necessarily one of the nice parts of Stevenage, a few weeks ago, and it was kind of kicking out time. It was 5 o'clock, so all the fact. And there was this really beaten up old car, and there's these three teenagers in it. And I was thinking, oh ye gods, as I drew alongside this up there, it was, I thought, and in the back sat there was this kid, could only have been about 19, knitting away. I thought, wow, knit one pearl, one stitch. I thought, well, fair play.
You got some knowledge about knitting. Knit one pearl, one is more than I have.
Oh, you don't know what I go through in our house. We're currently on the upholstering stage at the moment.
This is the thing. I think this making. For a long time in the home, anyway, because I'm an interior designer and I know about how people live. And for a long time, if you went into any store, whether it would be, you know, Marks and Spencer's or Next or whatever, you could buy homewares and they all kind of looked the same. If you didn't look to see which shop you were in, you were pretty much buying the same thing. And we all went through this phase of everything was beige and everything was bought vases and that all had certain shapes. And I think, you know, that's been going for about, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years. And then suddenly there's people making cupcakes. And then you think, well, what else can I make? And so, you know, knitting and now crochet's taking off, I think, in a very big way. It has been for a few years, but it is beginning to really fly because it's got a bit of a bad reputation.
Well, this is it. I mean, you talk about the baking, for example, cupcakes. Now, I come from a sort of line of people where you would take Mary Berry's book on and that's how you did it and that's what a cupcake should look like, and if it wasn't like that, well, it wasn't acceptable. But actually, Lottie's generation are taking these things and going, oh, yeah, it's a cupcake, but hey, look what we can do
Correct.
With it.
Let's put wedges on
it. put some flair on these
things.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I've got friends who incredibly artistic, and they've made cupcakes, posted them online, like you said, everything's gone viral, and now they're making wedding cakes for friends and things because
Absolutely.
They're doing it so beautifully.
And if you go to, you know, some of the hobby shops, you can buy icing ready-made in all kinds of colours. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, you couldn't get anything.
No.
You had to make it from scratch. And if you didn't know how to do it, it's quite... Yeah. To make a fondant icing, for instance, is really complicated. And so, you know, suddenly these things are available. And people, like you say, the younger generation have come along and just completely, you know, taken it to new levels. And well, I think we're seeing that, you know, again with other crafts like the sewing bee. I think we're only beginning to see the beginning of sewing take off. When I was your age, Lottie, I tried making my own clothes, not very successfully.
Oh yeah, that's me now then.
Yeah, I weren't very successful, but I tried. But I still sew. I still do a lot of hand sewing and so on. So, and there's quilting. Quilting's been popular for years, but I think again that's going to regroup and come out. It sort of has a granny sort of look to it.
Oh,
sometimes.
I mean, the Americans with their quilting, you just want to curl up and yes, yeah. But it's amazing. But also, you just think, oh no, really?
Yeah, but it's a bit twee. But yeah. I think that's what you're talking about.
And
that
again, it's getting a young British twist to all this.
Well, that's where I think the Brits are really good. I think we've got that eye that I probably get murdered for saying this, but we've got an eye for taking something and innovating and changing it, making it sharper, making it brighter. And pushing out. And that's where the yarn bombing comes in. I mean, some of the yarn bombing is amazing. Yeah. You see what they do. Clever. And it's a lot of work. I hope people realize, you know, just to say, crochet 300 yards, which will only give you, it'll give you a scarf, if that makes sense. So you can sort of work that out. That, you know, that's pretty much a half a day's work.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's, you know, you can't do all that unless you can crochet incredibly quickly. But... So
take us back to the sort of crochet as it was originally. What's it, back in the 60s, which was really when it seemed to me to be around.
Yeah,
maybe
that's what
I grew
we
up
remember.
There.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a big debate about when crochet started. A lot of people say it's a Victorian craft, but I believe that it goes back a lot further than that. But because it's a simple process of just a stitch on a hook, and it's how you twist the yarn around it that creates the different shapes. So it's quite a structural, it's much easier to create three-dimensional pieces with crochet than with knitting. You can still do it with knitting, but it's more complicated.
You wind up with circular needles and things, don't you, in knitting?
In knitting, yeah.
There's an awful lot of gadgets.
Crochet is really just a hook, and it's how you twist the yarn around the hook that creates those shapes. And I think the 60s, I was born in the 60s, so I can't always say that I remember the 60s because I was really, you know, a young child in the 70s. But in the 60s, it was very hip. And it was, people wore bags and waistcoats made out of granny squares and berets. And there was a lot of crochet. Mm. Then it went through the 70s. And for instance, I remember my grandmother taking a Cindy doll and creating a huge, big, thick crocheted dress on it, which she then gave to me as a toilet roll cover. And
nice.
It was probably the most... It even had a hat.
There's a market for that.
And it was the most hideous thing I've ever seen. And I seem to think it was in white and blue. So crochet then got the sort of kind of a bad name. And it's taken a long time for it really to come back. But some of the designers in the clothing industry, and the clothing industry is what often drives these things. Mm. Paul Smith came out with a granny square, which is we call it a granny square. It's a style of square that's a vintage look with several colours, of rows of colours. And he came out with a dress that went onto the catwalk. And that, because of the internet, went viral. And suddenly, it's okay to create.
Paul Smith says you can wear it,
And then if you can wear it, you can make it for your house. And sure. Then you've got crochet designers out there that have come up with these, again, younger people have come up with these bright colours, clashy colours, putting them together. So it's suddenly really trendy. And with the retro look that's in our homes, that's coming back in that sort of, you know, 1970s stuff, that crochet sort of vintage look slots right in.
Your eyes have lit up, Booth.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, because I agree with everything you're saying. Yeah, patchwork to me. Patchwork dresses, pieces of material all put together. That's my idea of heaven. That's everything I wear to festivals. And I have little, like, Peter Pan collars, which are, like, crochet effect. And loads of the dresses I wear at festivals are that as well.
Yeah.
All of them are the same.
Well, they're warm,
so
they're
I already
functional,
love it. So I don't think of it as the awful sort of toilet roll holder. I see it as something
very
I,
hip,
yeah,
yeah.
appealing.
You didn't live through the toilet roll holder.
No,
or the,
thank goodness.
Or the poodle, the crocheted poodle sitting on the toilet.
It's fantastic. You are doing a book signing.
I am.
Today.
Yes, not today.
No,
this
tomorrow.
Evening. Oh, tomorrow. Sorry. I was going to pop down there already. Don't. You won't be there.
Tomorrow at Hoppers 3 at the Sheep Shop in Besh Road in Cambridge. And I'll be there from then till, I think, about half past five. And there are books there, as well as we'll be doing a bit of a workshop, really. Bring your questions if you've got any techniques that you'd like explained. There's also, I've designed a scarf pattern, especially for the Sheep Shop, which will be available to anybody who attends tomorrow for free.
I might need to book, actually, a special session with my wife. With you, because my wife started to crochet a bag, a sort of string bag.
See, I have a crocheted bag that I love.
Yeah.
I think crocheting's cool.
She knocked out this bag, the bulk of it. I mean, it's about yay big, about 18 inch square. She knocked this out in a matter of days. It was and it was done. But there's one bit that sort of is kind of like the secret key that holds the whole thing together. And she's gone off in a huff and it's currently sitting in a bag in a
corner. Super glue.
Yeah, there was going to have to be a bit of staplers or something.
Well, I found a bit on my bag that's really hard, so I imagine someone did want super glue to keep it together.
I might just have to send her down for a little secret. How do I get this for?
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to say is that the Sheep Shop also do lessons. So if you contact them, and their website is sheepshopcambridge.co.uk, and they do have crochet lessons for different abilities and different styles, as far as I know. So.
Excellent. Where can people see about the book? Is there a website or something they can look
the
at
the book? The website, yeah, New Holland Publishers, and the that is New Holland. I think it's New Holland Publishers. I'm not sure.
Just Google it. It'll come up.
You should just Google hip crochet. And also, I'm on Ravelry. That's
that's secret society.
The secret society. That's right. That's www.ravelry.com. And that is a site just for knitters and crocheters. It's sort of like the knitter and crocheters sort of Facebook equivalent.
It's the dark underbelly of the...
One of the fastest growing social networking sites, and very specific, very, very... quirky. So.
Natalie, it's been lovely to meet you. Thank you for bringing crochet screaming into the 21st century.
Yes,
at last,
thank
there's
you.
Some stuff that we... Right, Booth, project for you then.
I know. I'm going to be the new yarn bomber.
I think you should have a stall at Strawberry Fair. You've got a couple of weeks.
No one will want what I have to offer. I'm going to have to practice.
You can sit and make 100 of those bags. That's very popular. So
there you go. So Natalie will be signing her new book. It's called Hip Crochet. She'll be signing it at the Sheep Shop tomorrow in Besh Road tomorrow afternoon. So do wander down. Go on.
Nothing.
You've done, have you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very happy.
Stop reading that book and get on with some work.
Thank you.
7 minutes past eight. What is it, Thursday morning today?
It is Thursday.
Nearly the end of the week already.
Do you know what? It's a sad day for me.
Why?
Because you know how I was just doing my breakfast cereal games on the back of my packets?
Yes.
One of them I can't do.
What?
I don't know who Snap, Crackle and Pop are. I don't know what they look like.
So you can't identify them?
No. Can anyone? I don't have a clue.
Oh, for goodness sake. No. It's 1:05 breakfast with Neil and Lottie through till 9:30. And then Kevin Peters will be here. But we're joined in the studio this morning by Laura Pearson and by Pauline Bramworth. Laura is from Alzheimer's Research UK. You'll have seen the posters all around Cambridge and stuff all over the place with the Cambridge 105 logo on it. Laura, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
So we've got the big walk. It's Sunday the 9th of June.
Yeah, put it in your diaries now. Yeah, not long to go, really. We've just... We launched on the 16th of March, so registration is now fully open.
Right.
We've got lots of keen walkers already signed up, over 70 already raring to go. They've got their sponsorship forms ready to go.
There's two of them here, you know. Yeah,
excellent. Oh, need to get a team together. Get more. Get
oh,
more.
We have.
We
no,
have,
hey,
yes.
I'll get the forms.
We have forms and everything. Have you sorted it?
Yep, we'll take that now. Thank you.
Oh, no, you need money off of them. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're paying for me. I remember we had this conversation.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, we've got Claire Craig Nasser.
Yeah, it's really straightforward form. So, there's also an online version as well.
I've got Pete Robbins.
Oh, good. We've got loads of people.
Brilliant. Yours and mine are here somewhere. I seem to have lost those, but there we are. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Anyway, it's about, and we're bringing the dog.
Excellent.
And we're bringing a kid, aren't we? Token child.
Have we found a child?
I think we found a token child to bring
good.
Along. Yeah, something like that. We're looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a family day out. Grands, grannies, granddads, get the whole family out, basically. And there's two walks this year. which is slightly different.
I was going to say, talk us through what's going to happen on the day, where it is, how it works.
Yeah, basically it's going to be in the South Cambridgeshire countryside. We're starting at Compton Village College. Mm-hmm. So we've got their lovely hall to register people as they come in on the day. And it's there's two choices, basically. You can join in a 9 mile circular walk, or there's a shorter one if you're, you know, less able to do the 9 miles. There's sure. a 2 mile one, so maybe smaller, tiny feet can do that. And you can just decide on the day, depending on the weather, maybe.
It's a bit like cross country when I was at school. Everyone used
if it's going to be like cross country when I was at school.
Yeah,
you're going down.
Is that right?
I know it's not a competition.
It's slightly competitive, Booth.
Kind of, yeah. I do love cross country.
I used to run for my school.
Me too.
But then there was all the other... Oh, right, we didn't know that one, did we? Yes. But in my day, you know, you had to wear some sort of sackcloth and everything.
Well, we've already got our outfits sorted. Are we allowed to do fancy dress?
Yes, that's of course that's encouraged. But, you know, I'd go for the lovely Alzheimer's Research UK purple, if you can squeeze that in. I mean, everyone gets a T-shirt anyway when they've registered. We send them a pack out. You get the terms and conditions, a bit more information about the walk. And,
we want
a big sea of purple, basically. We're guiding through the countryside, so...
And it is actually... I mean, I live out that way because I live in Highfields, Caldecott, which is, and my son goes to Compton Village College. Yep. It's a nice part of the world.
It's lovely.
Apart from, there is a ridge, but it's not a hilly walk, is it? It's perfectly doable.
No, there's lots of flat fields, and you also go past Hardwick Woods, which mm-hmm. is very beautiful. And obviously all the flowers will be up because it will be summertime and it will be very sunny.
Yeah. The weather's booked, that's fine.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
That's all done. Well, I'm not entering unless it's sunny. That's a given. Yeah. And so it starts at 10 o'clock. Realistically, how long is it going to take for most people to get around?
We say on average sort of 4 hours if you're going at a nice sort of pace. Mm-hmm. I think somebody last year managed to do it in 2 hours. Some even decide to run it. So
yeah, that ain't going to happen. Let's just be very clear.
So, I mean, and some people take the whole day if they like. There's a nice sort of pit stop halfway through at Toft is, uh-huh. the village hall. So there's refreshments there if you just need to, you know, take a moment out and then you can get back on the walk. So,
okay.
Yeah. But I should also say we are making a call out for volunteers on the day. We're looking for marshals, people that can make teas and coffees, help actually at the starting point and just make it a really fun day for everyone. So, yeah.
Because presumably there are going to be more than just the four of us there. How many people are we looking to get on the day?
Oh, we're aiming for about 300
wow.
on the day.
Oh, cool.
And hopefully that will raise £30,000.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
It could make such a difference. It could fund one of our pilot projects, which is a chance for scientists to try out new theories. Mm-hmm. And this is what's important. We need to invest in our world-class research to hopefully find a cure one day and just find the preventions and treatments, really.
Because tell us a little bit about Alzheimer's Research UK. Do you get much in the way of government funding, or is it all based around donations?
We do mostly rely on our supporters. The Scottish Government have given us a fraction of funding, but we are hugely underfunded.
Sure.
We rely on our supporters, their fundraising efforts. I mean, we've just finished the London Marathon. We had over 70 runners.
No way!
And it was an amazing day. And we're aiming, I think they'll be able to raise over £150,000 this
year.
That
is amazing.
So how incredible.
It makes
that is
such
amazing,
a difference.
Isn't it? Yeah. And, but we've had this discussion before. People don't realise there's an awful lot of people who are affected by Alzheimer's. Like not just directly, but indirectly. It's a pernicious thing when it hits, isn't it? It's wretched.
Yes.
To see it happen to somebody.
And I think the problem is, people are speaking out more about it, which is great. But I think in Cambridgeshire, there's over 6,000 people with dementia, and the numbers are just going to increase. And I think there's this common misconception that it's a normal part of ageing, and it's not. It's actually a brain disease.
Sure.
And we just need more research to be able to treat it and actually diagnose it. So, yes, the more help we have, the better.
Yeah, but as we've said before, they do seem to be getting... It's like with cancer and a few other things. They're starting to get... They're getting to they're starting to crack it, aren't they? They're starting to understand exactly how this works,
exactly.
And ways of treating it, ways of at least arresting the development of the disease.
Yeah.
So
it's bringing more clinical trials, finding new drugs, and just putting the funding into our world-class scientists that can actually do the research and find hopefully the answer.
All right, Nick should be happy now.
I think we should have a Western session at some point.
What, a Western show?
Yeah.
Thing type stuff.
My mother bought my father a spaghetti Western CD.
Oh, dear
Lord. As a joke. And now he loves it.
I bet he does. It's 23 minutes past 8. You're listening to Cambridge 105. We've got Laura Pearson of Alzheimer's Research UK is in the studio with us this morning, along with Pauline Bramworth. Pauline, good morning. You're from Shelford, is that right?
That's right, Little Shelford.
Now, tell us a little bit about your story, because you've been directly affected by Alzheimer's, haven't you, in your family?
Yes, we have. Three generations of our family, on the female side, have had Alzheimer's or dementia. I mean, great-grandma had dementia. I think they just thought she was going a bit funny, and it's before they knew about Alzheimer's as such. And I didn't know her very well. I mean, she died when I was only a few years old.
Sure.
But, of course, I do know my grandmother, and she developed Alzheimer's. Characteristic signs of Alzheimer's.
What sort of stuff did she do?
Well, apart from the forgetfulness, she used to hide things. She used to wrap things up and stuff them in odd places. She'd put spoons down her jumper. She started telling Grandad, and this is before he died, the next door neighbour had taken her washing off the line. I mean, which she hadn't. She'd known it.
No.
It was just, she saw something she recognised on the line, maybe stockings hanging up, and thought they were hers. Very strange, really. Anyway, Grandad died, and Mum, being the eldest of five, she sort of said, oh, well, I'll look after Grandma, with her next sister down. The other three children had either moved away or they'd got full-time jobs. So actually, Mum took the brunt of caring. Then my father had retired, so he helped my mother look after Grandma. And altogether, I would have thought Grandma had Alzheimer's for 14 years or something like that.
A long time.
And Mum took the whole responsibility, except for her sister helping her, for about 10 years of that.
With no real external help in those days?
Well, she could call on, you know, some nurses from the community to come and bring things. But not really a lot of help.
And certainly not specialist help.
Not really. No. There was no drugs to give her anything. And Grandma had a gradual decline until the last 3 months of her life. My mother couldn't manage anymore, even with my father's help. And my mum agreed to her going into a nursing home.
Right.
Strangely enough, my mother felt guilty for sending her mom.
You kind of feel like you're abandoning them,
abandoned,
but there's only so much you can do. None of us are trained in these things.
No. She couldn't do it anymore. I mean, my grandma was doubly incontinent and everything.
Oh, good Lord.
Sort of thing. That's how Alzheimer's goes. In the end, Grandma couldn't do anything, really.
No.
So Dad helped Mum look after Grandma. Then they had a few years of very happy retirement until poor Mum started
struck
herself.
Again. Oh, good Lord.
And Dad is in his second dose.
Yeah.
He'd helped look after Grandma. Now his own wife has got dementia.
And you don't, at that time of life, it's so hard, isn't it?
It's so hard.
You're not the strongest yourself.
No. They were living up in Derbyshire still. I'd moved down to Cambridge with my husband. And, of course, it's over 100 miles away to Derbyshire, so I couldn't help
them. You can't just pop round, no.
No. So eventually, we persuaded Mum and Dad to move down to Cambridge, so they'd be near. But they've lived in a little bungalow in Haslingfield, where they were quite happy at first. Mum deteriorated. She did have the drug Aricept, which helped her plateau.
Level stuff out, yeah.
Yeah, for temporary. But then there was the gradual decline again. She went into a day centre for 2 days a week.
Then really that wasn't enough. Dad was actually getting weak himself. Mm. And she ended up going into a care home and finally into a nursing home.
Yeah.
She died last year, age 92.
Wow.
She could do nothing for herself then except breathe.
Yeah.
So sorry. So sad.
And awful for you because, yeah, you just it's just history repeating itself all
it
the time.
It is. And, of course, you can guess why I'm very interested in Alzheimer's research.
Oh, I can imagine.
Three generations on the female side.
Yeah.
Who's next?
And you just don't. Well, do you know, I mean, I think I may have said before on a good friend of mine, lifelong friend of mine, he and I were at school together. You know, I'm in my early 50s. He's a year younger than me. And he's showing signs. And you think, what? Hang on a minute. He's yeah. Of the two of us, he's the clever one, you know? And you think, wow, how can
well,
this
happens.
Be?
Happens to clever people.
Just, it mean, just picks its victims at random.
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, exactly.
Ronald Reagan.
Exactly so. Yeah. So you've obviously been seriously affected by it, but you know, on the plus side, you're helping a lot with Alzheimer's research. Tell us what you do.
Well, oh gosh.
It's quite a list, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Started probably mid-90s. Helping at Alzheimer's Research UK when it was very small. Mm-hmm. Only probably three or four members of staff, including Rebecca Wood, and they're in very small premises. I was one of a group of volunteers. We did all sorts of things, just, well, ordinary things like coffee mornings, having stalls at Adam Brooks. When they first started selling Christmas cards, they asked us if we would go and help pack the Christmas cards. So there we were, packing up the Christmas cards.
Sure. All of which is saving them money, isn't it? Everything's got a cost. If you don't do it, it's got a cost as
yeah.
far as they're
well,
concerned.
Well, the thing is, it, now, fortunately, Alzheimer's Research UK has grown so much, it's yeah. just impossible for us. So you do it. Laura, don't you? As an app, you outsource it
sure.
now because it's such
it's
a big operation.
It's grown to the size it can. It
wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful that it has. But few volunteers couldn't.
But a whole band of you doing that right at the start has
we
seen
did,
it grow
yes.
to the size it is now,
yeah.
doing the good work that it does.
Yeah,
now, which
I mean, there was 50, probably about 15 people when it started off of the little band. And as people got older and older of the initial band, they either dropped out for various reasons. I mean, still of the original band, there are some around still, but in well into their 80s. So
my
we've
goodness.
Sort of said, now Alzheimer's Research UK has come of age.
Yes.
We've done our bit.
Time to sit
but
back.
We yeah. will help, like, at the big walk.
So what are you going to be doing then? You're leading the front, are you? You're going to take the pack
no,
round?
No,
yeah? Pace setter.
No, I'm afraid. A friend asked me, she said, I didn't know you were a big walker, she said the other day. And I said, well, no, I'm not. I help with the refreshments. The last twice I've helped with the refreshments.
Marvellous. Make a note of that face, Booth. We're going to need that
yeah,
face.
Yeah. At first, we give out bottles of water and we give out biscuits and muesli and things. I think you sometimes get those donated, don't you,
yeah.
by generous companies who are
Natural
supporting
bars,
the course.
Yeah, they're on board again.
So that's fine and nice and easy.
Mm.
Then, when we're meeting people, which is lovely, then off everybody goes and we think, oh, lovely, we can relax just a little bit now before they all come back.
Research
and as
back.
You said, they come back and some maybe have run, and then you get a gradual dribble, and then it increases to a whole host of people
yeah,
all coming
suddenly,
up once, wanting tea, coffee,
yeah.
everything, and we're giving out cakes and all sorts
well, we'll
of things.
We'll slow down then, Nils.
So we'll hold,
too
them
many
back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll hold them back.
Now,
yeah.
now, this year, from what you say, Laura, it's going to be different. There's going to be the 2 milers.
Yes.
Oh, dear. There'll be no big gap, so there'll be no big break.
So we might need more volunteers.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you say,
so
you
we'll be on the go all the time. Actually, people have had great fun.
It does
they
sound
really
like you really enjoy
it.
What you do.
Yes,
yeah,
I
it
do.
It sounds like you really enjoy it.
Yes,
are you looking
yes.
forward to the day?
Yes.
But you could use some help, presumably.
Oh, yes.
All right, so if people are listening and they think, do you know what, I'm not going to do the walk. for whatever reason, but I can make a decent cup of tea or coffee. Yeah. Needs to be two sugars in mine. Alzheimer's Research UK.org. So Alzheimer's Research UK.org /big-walk is the website. You can send them an email, bigwalk@alzheimersresearchuk.org, or you can give Laura and the team a call, 0300 111 5777. That's 0300 111 5777. And if you'd like to take part in the walk, I'm right in saying over 18s it's £15 as a registration fee, under 18s is £7.50. And obviously if you can get sponsorship as well, that's all to the good. It's Sunday the 9th of June. That's the date I've got in my diary. Lottie, are you checking yours?
Yep, that's good.
I'm sorry, I had it down as July. Sorry, I didn't know.
Look, if anyone, that's going to be you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Starts at 10 o'clock at Comberton Village College in the centre of Comberton. There's a 9-mile and a 2-mile walk, so you can take your pick and do whichever one you like. And it's all in aid. So it's going to be great. So we'll look forward to seeing you there on the day.
Good.
Okay, two sugars in mine. She's a bit fussy.
Just a bit of milk.
Yeah, well, actually...
I'm good.
You like your tea quite cold, don't
you?
I do.
What we'll do is we'll get Pauline to make it. We'll get Pauline to make it at the start, and then it'll be just about ready for you by the time
really,
we get back.
Really, you're assuming I'm going to be quite quick then.
You're doing the 2-miler.
Yeah, are we? Yeah, maybe we'll do the 2-miler.
You're doing the 9, you know you are.
Right.
Pauline, it's been lovely to meet you. Sorry to hear your story. It just shows you just how some people can be affected by it and just how much of heart is paid in your life. But, you know, on the upside, you do so much. So thank you. And I'm sure on behalf of Alzheimer's Research, yeah, thank you for what you do and all your team of volunteers. So keep it going. We'll see you on the day.
Right, good.
And Laura, we'll see you there too. I know you haven't got a microphone. Just wave and shout. Yeah, right. Okay, we'll keep you posted because you'll be back in again before the big day. So there we are. It's 7 minutes past 8 on Community Radio in your city. We're Cambridge 105 on a beautiful morning. It is a beautiful, look at that.
It is lovely.
Early morning clouds have cleared away, I think is the phrase I would use. It's gorgeous out there, absolutely gorgeous. Lottie and Neil with you through till 9:30. Don't forget, in about 35 minutes time we'll be playing this track. That's all you get.
One more time.
That's coming up at 8:45. If you know what we're going to be playing, you can text, you can message, you can email in.
Lovely, but right now... we are joined by Graham, who is the walk organiser for Bartlow Three Counties Charity Walk, which is taking place on Sunday the 5th of May, and this is its 10th anniversary. Morning, Graham.
Good morning, both of you.
Good morning. Can you just talk us through the walk? This is going to be your 10th year, so how has it kind of developed over the time?
When we started, one of the folks in the village who'd been there a long time realised that the village is only 6 miles from the point on the map where three counties, Suffolk, Cambridge and Essex, meet. And he had the idea of a charity walk. He passed the idea on in its conceptual stage, so I spent some months scouting the walk and finding a route that made some sense to us. And that year we just ran one walk of 13 miles. And people enjoyed it. We had 150 participants that year. And we hadn't done a huge amount of marketing or plugging for it. So we thought, right, as long as this is a growing event, we're going to carry on doing it. We had decided that first year that we wanted to support the restoration of our local church, which is a 10th to 12th century church. And we see it as a historic building that it's our job to take care of. And we thought that we ought really to have a broader supporting theme as well. So we invited Addenbrooke's Charitable Trust to be part of this, and we chose a different Addenbrooke's cause each year.
Oh, wow.
And each time we chose a cause, it was a cause that resonated with somebody in the village.
Yeah.
So we've been round, you know, a huge number of causes now. In fact, I have a long list of them here that I won't read out, but take it from me, from infectious diseases to the stroke unit to pediatrics and neurology and what have you. So we've all become mild experts on all of these things. And I'm starting to point these towards my own medical needs now.
So, oh, is that right?
So it's medicine for the aged, dementia and the like that's creeping in as the causes now. And 3 years in, Linton Health Centre, which is a very important local GP practice centre for all of the villages around us, in South Cambridgeshire, came in to the fold and became a third cause. And so we now divide everything that we raise, we divide three ways between Bartlow Church Restoration, Linton Health Centre and the chosen Addenbrooke's cause of the year.
Okay, and how do people choose? Do you get together as a committee to choose which Addenbrookes one, or does the trust point you towards where the money's needed?
Well, it's exactly what you said as the second one. These days, we're close enough now to Addenbrookes Charitable Trust that they'll indicate what they think is a good and relevant cause, and they did that this year, and that's how we've chosen this year prostate cancer.
Again, cancer they seem to be making some headway with, don't they? So it seems that the more money we throw at it, the better we seem to be getting at it.
Yes, they do. And the remarkable things that they do at Addenbrookes with the new robots that they have there is just sensational. And you will find on our website a lot of information on that. And it's Addenbrookes is a leading institution in the country.
Yeah.
And we're very proud to be involved with them.
What's your target to raise this year then? Because I've read up and you've raised £80,000 over the last 9 years.
We have, and it's so tempting, isn't it? 10 years, £100,000, we couldn't resist. Now, on a typical year, we raise about £13,000 net. It's been 14, 750, it's been 12. It's been up and around there. So it wasn't an impossible goal.
No.
But it did challenge us in a number of ways. How do you raise your game by 50% to £20,000? But we just couldn't resist it. So we said there are three headings here. One is we need more walkers. And so nominally we're targeting 1,000 walkers instead of the usual 500 to 600.
That should do the trick to a large extent,
well,
shouldn't it?
To a significant extent. We realise that we need more in the corporate sponsorship area. So we've raised our game as far as attracting corporate sponsorship is concerned. And typically we're in the 3,000 to 4,000 bracket there. And this year I think we should be in the 5,000 to 7,000.
Wow.
Depending on how that works out. So once again, we've lifted the game there. And finally, we need to make more money at the event itself, which means we've got to make it more entertaining, more going on. And we've absolutely done that. There's a real party planned at the end of the walk for as people stagger back in. And of course we have a bar, and of course we have a huge barbecue and a burger van. And
I love this approach.
You.
Of course there's a bar. Of course there's a barbecue.
I was going to say, hang on a minute. We've signed up for all the ones.
I know. Why aren't we going to the one with the bar?
I know.
Well, we have a bar. We have a little wine bar. We've just arranged as recently as yesterday. Is going to be added to it as well. So we even have a frequent walker program that I've launched this year.
Oh, my goodness.
So there'll be awards for people who will have walked it 10 times.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe there are two people out there?
And isn't that cool? Because
fantastic.
And the cool thing about an award like that is you can't suddenly go back and falsify your card, can you? You've done it, so you've got the badge.
I have said to everybody that I will accept their assertion of how many times they'll have done it. But we have this diamond level. As I say, there are two people there who we know. But at the there's a gold level, which will be 8 or 9 times. There's a silver level, and there's even a bronze.
That's super.
A bronze
That's
level.
Lovely. It's a real family event as well, as well as the bar and the barbecue. Cause I really want to go because there's a bouncy castle.
Oh, for goodness sake.
But it's a proper event, isn't
you,
it?
You pulling small children. Come on, off you get. Come
it
on.
It is. But look, I didn't make it clear that in the evolution of the event over the years, we've moved from just the 13-mile route, which is the signature route that goes to the all-important Three Counties point. But we invented another route, which we call the family route,
right,
which is 9 miles for those with smaller children or or less fit adults, perhaps.
Yeah.
And there's even a 5-mile route now, which goes as far as Castle Camps, which is a village en route.
Sure.
And we actually provide a bus to bring people home from that. And it's been quite attractive to people who just aren't regular walkers, but 5 miles is perfectly doable.
It is, isn't it?
And finally, we have the Junior Nature Trail, which is only about a mile, which might suit you, Neil. But you need the props you'd need to bring, though, would be a couple of small children.
Oh, I'm sure I can borrow a couple.
I can kneel down. That'll be fine.
Is that fine?
Because that would be essential, otherwise you'll be detected.
Oh, right.
But that is that's very much educational. It's got a lot of nature information pinned to trees and things, and they have to find samples of this, that and the other and put them in a matchbox and do things.
That
but on the way
fantastic.
Round, there are games. There's everything from a coconut shy to face painting in a genuine Indian teepee and stuff like that.
There's
this.
A huge amount of work. How big a committee are we talking about organising?
When I count the externals, because the Addenbrookes people, the cause in Addenbrookes, yep. Linton Village, health centre. All of these contribute somebody to be part of the organisation, and they help to spread the word and what have you. Oh, it's perhaps a dozen people at the centre. It's three people right at the centre. Yeah. It's a dozen people at the next level of ripples. And then it goes out to every single family in Bartlow. There is nobody in Bartlow untouched by this.
That is amazing.
Bartlow's a hamlet of 100 souls and yeah. 40 dwellings.
That is amazing.
So it's not a big place.
I was going to say as well, I mean, you've been going 10 years. To be honest, half your time has been through recession.
True, too.
So amazing that you've been able to raise this huge amount of money and that you can be on target like you are.
To be frank, you do notice that if you look at the totals. It did take a dip.
Take a bit of a hit.
Around the 2008 was actually the best year, but it dipped thereafter and it pulled back last year.
People are getting used to it now, aren't they? They're getting used to living in these straitened times, I think.
I think so. But I think also, I mean, people target what they do.
Yeah.
They feel that we target good causes. And we also set out to give somebody a really, really entertaining day. So you might, as a minimum sponsorship level, pay £10 per adult and £5 a child. But you really will get value for that.
It sounds excellent.
We put a lot of effort into making it a really good event.
Here come the Bin Boys. Graham Howitt's our guest this morning in the studio. So I'm going to take an opportunity to take a break. We'll do the travel news and a piece of music. We'll be back with Graham shortly. Get your diaries out, everybody, so we can get you all your details so you can take... Recorded at the last night of the proms as well. The Royal Philharmonic Orchestra with Jerusalem on St George's Day here in Cambridge with the sun shining. This is about as good as it gets. It's 24 minutes past 8. You're listening to Cambridge 105. With Lottie and Neil through till 9:30, and we have Graham Howitt in the studio with us this morning. And Graham is one of the organisers of the Bartlow Three Counties Charity Walk, which takes place on Bank Holiday Sunday, May the 5th. So if you're not doing anything, go and help them raise £100,000.
Do it. It's the best place to be. I wish I was going. I wish I could go.
Unfortunately, I'm being best man on that day, or I would bunk off, but I think the bloke might notice if I don't turn up. So.
Possibly, yes.
So Graham, talk us through the day. How does it all start?
The first key thing is the opening of registration, which is 9:30 in the morning. And so people are arriving typically from 9 o'clock. We have off-road parking. All things are well signed. And people will hand in their sponsorship forms if they've already downloaded a sponsorship form from our website and gone out and sought sponsorship. But we don't rule people out if they just show up on the day.
Sure.
And perhaps half at least of the people that come along actually show up on the day and pay on the day. So we set a what we call a minimum self-sponsorship.
Yeah.
And that's £10 per adult and £5 per child. And that entitles people to the entire event. And, you know, that sits alongside individuals, often very young individuals, who go out and get £200 or £300 of sponsorship.
It's amazing.
In fact, one of our winners, our junior winners, has been the same little girl for a couple of years and up at the £250 level.
Good Lord.
So,
incredible, isn't it?
And as it happens, that she was a beneficiary of some of the wonderful skills of Addenbrookes, and we had a paediatric cause the first year she got involved. And so her family sort of put the sponsorship on her.
Wow.
And she'd, you could say, been saved by the unit that we were supporting that year.
But as you say, it's a local hospital. It's a major hospital. There's kind of everyone's got...
It's important to
us. We've all been to Addenbrookes at some point, I think. It's probably safe to say. I've certainly had a couple of goes there. And yes. Everyone does, don't they?
I think so. Very important to everybody in the region that Addenbrookes is as good as it is, and I think probably a source of real pride to us all as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, so there's three walks that you can do, three main walks. Mm-hmm. So there's the 13 mile. Now, are we talking fairly flat country, or is there much in the way of hills around here?
No, it's relatively flat. As you know, north of Cambridge, it's completely flat. South of Cambridge, it starts to not be, but by the time you get to Bartlow, it's only it's undulating rather than hills, so it's not a difficult walk at all. It's across fields, it's along footpaths, it's not entirely on public footpaths. I should perhaps say that we, by agreement with local farmers, we get their agreement to just join these footpaths in a creative way to make a continuous route.
Excellent.
And the route it's a big circle out there. So from Bartlow, it winds its way through the fields to Shudi Camps, on to Castle Camps, again over the fields. A very short burst down Castle Camps High Street, past the Cock, with a pub in Castle Camps.
Always worth checking to make sure it's open. That's what I'd do. Just going to pop in, make sure they're okay.
It might be said that
you carry on.
That's where the 5 mile route finishes.
Oh, so that's the way to do it.
Anybody who does the 5 mile can actually get a snack or something more.
How wonderful.
And then on through the fields towards Hellions Bumpstead, where the Three Counties Point is. Mm-hmm. And at the Three Counties Point, we erect a huge pink sign pointing at the Three Counties. And on top of it is our blackbird, who we've dubbed Bart.
And you've got Bart with us here in the studio this morning.
I have indeed.
This is Bart, who's going to be on top of the pink sign.
And he's very happy to be here.
He is, isn't he? He's very thumbs up, isn't he, for a blackbird?
So from the Three Counties Point, we moved towards the old airfield at Castle Camps.
And right.
Many people don't realise that there was a wartime airfield at Castle Camps, now a farm, of course. And we traverse the airfield and go down to Castle Camps Church and Moated Village. And again, we've got some real history of the region there in the Moated Village. Round the church and on up a bit of, I was going to say a hill, but I've just said there are no hills.
No, up a slope, slight incline.
Up a slope to Camp's End. And when you get to an area called Langley Wood, then that's where the 9 mile route meets the 13 mile route, and both routes then continue to the very picturesque Ashton Windmill. Wow. Ashton Windmill is the last high point, has fantastic views over the local countryside, and you descend from there to an estate called Walton's, the Vestey estate, and then through that, and frankly it's the last 2 miles back to Bartlow. And as you enter Bartlow, you pass the Bartlow Hills, which is Northern Europe's largest burial mound complex.
Originally,
seven hills. If this were the USA, there'd be a Bartlow Hilton sitting next to a four-story interpretation centre. Instead, there's just the hills.
That sounds more like it. It's the way we like to do it in this country.
Our local pub is called the Three Hills.
How marvellous.
But there it is. Three hills, three counties. Odd, isn't it?
Amazing.
But that's why Bartlow is in any way on the map, and you will see if you go onto our website, you'll see the details of the Three Hills, which are well worth visiting, as is Bartlow Church, which has some extraordinary and unique wall paintings in it, which are being restored with the funds that we raised this year. In fact, when you pass Bartlow Church, I might say, you'll see that the roof has been completely replaced. That's all to do with this.
Done with
wall.
Your money.
Yeah.
Marvellous. So just to recap then, it's Addenbrooke's Prostate Cancer Team, Linton Health Centre and the Bartlow Church Restoration Fund are all going to receive the benefit of your money on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
It's a bank holiday Sunday, so you're going to go out for a walk in the best bit of England anyway, and it is St George's Day, so we need to big up the country we're all living in, and you're going to raise money, and there's food and drink and entertainment and everything when you finish.
There is, and the children are particularly attended to, which allows the adults to stay on a little longer.
Sounds marvellous. So if you want to find out more, website details and everything, and Just Giving and stuff like that?
Yep, www.bartlow.org.uk will tell you everything you need to know and give you the opportunity to download a sponsorship form. And if you can't come along but feel that we've got good causes here you'd like to support, then virginmoneygiving.com/Bartlow Walk will take you straight into a special homepage that they've created for us. Sorry, an event page that they've created for us. And it's very, very simple to make a contribution.
It sounds marvellous. So just to remind you, the start time is 10 o'clock on Sunday, May the 5th at Bartlow. Registration starts between 9.30 and 11.30. There's a junior nature trail. Registration there takes place between 10 and 1. Okay, it's minimum self-sponsorship on the day of £10 per adult, £5 per child, under fours, walk free. And that there's under 16 and adult prizes for the most sponsorship raised. Sorry?
May I say one more thing?
Of course you can. Oh, I was just recapping.
I thought you were going to
finish. I'll just talk over him, it's fine. Yeah.
Everybody else does, Graham. Carry on.
Thank you. The official start moment is 10 o'clock.
Right.
We have generally a VIP there to start it. And it's Stephen Davis, who is this year, who is the chairman of Addenbrooke's Charitable Trust. And significantly, he's just taken over this year from Lady Mary Archer.
Oh, right.
And Lady Mary has started every walk but one. Since the beginning of the walk, and has been a great supporter of ours. So, you know, Addenbrooke's, that's not the least reason, I think, that Addenbrooke's Charitable Trust has been very close to us over the years and remains so. So, you know, we've always appreciated that sort of support. They've always provided us with the person to start it. And so effectively she cuts the tape, or he into this year will cut the tape at 10 o'clock. And the first wave of walkers will depart.
It sounds marvellous.
But they then carry on checking in until registering until 11:30.
I'm with you.
Very end of it, we send our tail end Charlies behind the last walkers, and they take all the markings off the trees, they pick up all the litter and what have you, and they sweep the place clean.
And no one knows you've been there.
Nobody knows we've had a walk.
All ready for the jazz music.
Excellent.
That follows.
Oh, which we could speak of as well.
Yeah. There's so much, isn't there?
There is a lot going on. Sadly, we've got to leave it for now, but if you want to check out that website, www.bartlow.org.uk, we're looking for £20,000 to take the total raised in the 10 years to £100,000. Graham's after 1,000 walkers, which I think is doable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Graham, thank you for coming along this morning. It sounds like an enormous amount of work, but it looks like it's paying off. That's an enormous amount of money you've raised over the years. Good luck with it. Make sure you got the weather booked, and it's a bank holiday, it'll be fine. And and let us know how you get on. Keep us posted.
Please
with the time.
Do.
I surely will.
Sadly, we can't be
so
there.
Much.
Can you put a note in our diaries for next year, Miss
yes.
Booth?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all done, is it?